Okay, good. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. And he was called Jesus. And so Christmas time, because we're entering into Christmas time now, is the story of the birth of Jesus. It's Jesus' birthday, right? No, just kidding. So that is my story for you guys today.
Can I get someone to fetch the preacher stand? Thanks, Sol. Working for me now. He's my boss, by the way. Alrighty, so I have the opportunity to do the take-home today, and are kids allowed to go back on the floor or back in their seats? Or if you want to come to the floor, kids, that's all good. So always get some colouring in for ya. It's alright, I'm used to some noise, it's all good, because I've been on a placement for my university. I'm going to be a primary teacher soon, and I was teaching year 3 and 4 class, and boy... First day I went in, it was a little bit of a zoo, but by the 15th day, I was professional compared to the first day. That was good. But yeah, a little bit of noise, it's all good. Family service, I love it. If that's on the screen, cool, yeah. So if you're taking notes today, just write that down and you're all good. All good for Christmas. And, you know, I thought, yeah, it was good. And then someone spoke to me this morning, it wasn't my pastor, and he's like, "Ethan, Sully had to tell me this morning what cope means." And I'm like, oh, okay, so I thought I'd give you the definition. It is in the dictionary, it's a word. It means deal effectively with something difficult, to put up with something, just to get through something effectively, and it can be difficult. So... I'm glad I've been given the opportunity to speak today, because God's really challenged me with this story, surprisingly. But not only to what remember in this season, but what to act out in this season too. So this morning I'll be obviously mostly speaking about the arrival of Christ and the testimony I've had from reading it in Luke chapter 2. So first up, I want everyone here to imagine you're alive 2,000 years ago, all right? So you have, you know, wearing your robes, probably Birkenstocks were in fashion back then, and you've heard of some prophecy that the Messiah is coming so soon. And I don't know about you, but if I was alive 2,000 years ago and that the Savior, the King of Kings was arriving soon, I would be expecting, you know, chariots of fire, hundreds of angels, something big to happen. I'd be expecting that. You know, bigger than what we see, you know, when kings enter cities in movies. You know, I don't know what to relate it to these days. It's kind of like, Or for me, you know, if the Socceroos won the World Cup and the reception they would have in Sydney, that would be pretty big. It would be bigger than that. So pretty big, we're talking here in Ethan's language. But in Luke 2, verse 7, it's all right, Matt, you don't have to put the verse up. He's going red right now. No, it's all good. I'll read it from here. Verse 7. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Born in an animal shelter by a teenage girl, celebrated by no-name shepherds. You know, you think, what a humble beginning. Jesus entering the world in a stable, with no chariots of fire or anything like that. And yeah, God's kingdom was revealed in this kind of bit of a dirty place, you know, among the poor. But Jesus came to bring salvation by turning our world order upside down. You know, the arrival of hope was such a humble beginning. And God wanted the world to know that his power does not equal looking rich or famous in the eyes of the world, but it equals love for all of humanity, for the poor, for the rich, for everyone. You know, to be born in a manger amongst animals, I feel like, you know, the world can be like that sometimes, you know, a dirty place, but God loves the world. He loves everyone in it. Therefore, he sent his son to literally be born in it as a humble act. And it wasn't really the place where Jesus was born. Like, that wasn't really the main focus. The main focus was Jesus amongst that dirty place. And during this Christmas, I feel it's pretty important to apply the story to our lives. Because no matter, you know, where I am, no matter where you are this Christmas, or how much you're doing, or you know, the state your family can be in this Christmas, Jesus has to be the center for this season. And in verse 8, we read on, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. You know, the Lord sending an angel to some no-name shepherds in the field. You know, I'd think he'd send an angel to, you know, the rich and powerful, maybe in the Roman Empire. You know, it goes to show that the arrival of hope is designed to minister to everyone, no matter their background, no matter what they've been through. And he's designed everyone to be a part of his family. Even those shepherds, I don't know what shepherds could relate to like these days, probably like truck drivers, you know, people that aren't really, I'm a truck driver, but everyone. And we read on in verse 16, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Where they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Just gonna have some water. Hydration. 3 liters a day in the summer. Oh, maybe even four. It's going to be like 36, like 37 on Friday. Anyway. The display of this event, Jesus' birth, you know, the shepherds, born in a dirty stable, like it didn't really seem perfect in the eyes of the world back then. Maybe not even now. It seemed pretty dirty. And it speaks to me that this season with Christmas and that, it's, you know, it's pretty busy. It doesn't have to look so glamorous. It's okay to look a little bit raw. You know, not everything needs to be under control and displayed so nicely, and I don't really need to strive to impress others so much. It's okay if it looks like a manger, but the center of it, the core of it needs to be Jesus. And that's what I'm encouraging with you today, and I'm going to be getting to that soon, probably, yeah, now. So this challenges my focus of this Christmas season. You know, I can get caught up in the expectations, the busyness of this world. And I'm sure our jobs are trying to get things out before the Christmas break, you know, working pretty hard at the moment. And there's Christmas responsibilities on top of that. And especially, you know, financially, you know, these days, People are increasingly reliant on credit. I was just reading this article yesterday. Household budgets, you know, obviously stretching the cost of living burden. A national survey by Finder revealed 24% of people will be relying on credit to cover costs over the Christmas season, equivalent to 4.8 million people who will be pushed into debt by festive spending in a 4.8 million people. Oh, someone said what? 9% of respondents said they would turn to buy now, pay later services during the holidays, while 13% would depend on their credit card. The majority of respondents, 53%, will rely on their savings. You know, like, life is so expensive at the moment. You know, more people are taking up the buy now, pay later services, which are, you know, pushing them into debt and just coping with this financial demanding season has never been more difficult for many people. And, you know, the world is in a chaotic state right now, and the world provides, you know, buy now, pay later services just so we can cope with this Christmas season. And with all these stresses, you know, I developed this, you know, worldly mentality, you know, where all I should do in this Christmas season is just cope with it, just put up with it in my own strength. And it can be so stressful. And I don't even have kids yet. About to. And I find ways to cope with this stress. I'm sure many of us do. We find ways to cope. I tend to draw close to some unhealthy ways of coping with stress sometimes. I hate to break it, but recently I got given an Xbox One S from my landlord for free. Don't clap that. It hasn't been good for me. Georgia, like, wants to throw it away. And, like, one half of me was like, Christmas came early, this is great. And the other half of me was like, oh, this is a great coping mechanism during stressful times, and it's great to go to. And I'm sure you guys can relate in your own way. But, you know, the world during these days provides ways for us to cope with stress, healthy ways and unhealthy ways. And one of the healthy ways I cope during summer when it's busy, I really enjoy going for like the 8:30 p.m. summer night walks just around the block. It's just nice and warm. I just love doing that. I went for one this week, and I was just speaking to God about this sermon and that. And God really hit me to how much I was just coping through the stress of this season in my own strength. You know, I shouldn't live out this Christmas season by coping with the stress it can bring. You know, it won't get me through it. And reading Luke chapter 2, and even in the memory verse today, this season is about the arrival of hope, not about finding the best way to cope, obviously plan that, with the stress it can bring. Isaiah 9 verse 6, our memory verse, is a great central focus for this season. And it's not even just about celebrating the arrival of hope, but demonstrating it too. You know, the arrival is, you know, the gospel being brought to life, Jesus. You know, the arrival of hope, sorry. And in this season, church, in this, you know, next few months, God doesn't want you to just go through it just by coping with it and putting up with it. And let's not only remember, but demonstrate the truth of this season by being the hope of your family and in your workplace. You know, 2,000 years ago was the arrival of hope for humanity, and the world saw it and preached it for generations. And looking at the current state of the world right now, the world needs hope, and we are the carriers of it. We have the Holy Spirit, and we can model this Christmas story by bringing the gospel to life. And I know there's many other takeaways that we can do for the Christmas story, like giving and generosity, which we'll be doing real soon. But the world really needs to see hope this Christmas. And I feel the take-home today is that, you know, let's not be the ones to cope, but let's be the carriers of hope this season. And I'll just pray now. Dear Lord, we lift these things up to you, God. God, we don't want to get by this Christmas season We don't want to just put up with it, but we want to carry this hope, God. Carry the message, God, that you have for us and you have for the people that we want to minister to. So we lift all these things up to you, God. In your name, amen.